It is almost 3 a.m., and you know what that means. Witches, goblins, and ghouls are about to be at their most powerful, and supernatural activity is about to reach its climax, if you will.
So pull out your harnesses and strap on your broomsticks, because it's time for
the Bitching Hour.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mia. As a child, I broke every classroom pencil sharpener by shoving crayons into it. Penetration's always been my thing.
And I'm Maggie. The entire concept of flash mobs is a definite swipe left for me, but those guys who do light shows on their fingers at raves are a hard swipe right.
It's a hot take. So tonight on the episode, we're having our first guest. Elise is here with us to talk, and I have an important question for Elise. If you had to pick one inanimate object or phenomenon to describe your sexuality, what would it be?
My sexuality would be requesting the Cotton Eye Joe at a karaoke bar.
Today on the show, we're taking the classic Marry, Fuck, Kill and making it softer. Tender, even. Like what the butch you met at the bar last weekend pretended to be. For the main brew, we'll be talking about sexuality, something new and different for us. Okay, but really we're diving into bisexuality, pansexuality, queerness, not straightness, and all of the other ways that language fails to convey how we feel and live. Finally, we're wrapping it up by detailing our ultimate acts of self-love this week. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
I'm so ready. Elise, are you ready?
I'm ready as I'll ever be.
Well,
we'll take it.
All right.
Okay, so we are going to start off with a little game called Smooch Slap Safe. Don't try to say it quickly. I can't, so watch out. This is a little bit of a softer version of Marry, Fuck, Kill, a little bit less violence, a little bit less objectification, a nice smooch, you know, it's...
Right.
Yeah. It's polite.
Yeah.
So we've each prepared some. Mia, do you want to get us started?
Yes. Okay. Elise.
Okay.
Smooch, slap, safe. All right.
Wait. Should we explain what safe is for people? We should explain.
Yes.
Is safe? What is safe? Just nothing happens? You just pass?
Smooch is I'd like to mac it. Safe is you're safe this round. I have neither fired you nor hired you.
Right.
And
you're in purgatory.
Slap is self-explanatory.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. So Elise, smooch, slap, safe. Shia LaBeouf.
Uh huh.
Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. Big Bird.
Ooh, wow.
Who are you going to slap?
Who's Larry Bird?
Larry Bird is a Celtics player from way back in the day.
Celtics, ooh. Really?
Oh, Larry Bird.
Oh, should have known. Well.
Yeah, you should have known. Big Celtics fan, you guys.
Let's look him up so that we can see.
He's not great looking.
He's tall.
Ooh, his short shorts, though.
Damn, that's a tough one. That's really tough. Yeah. I think I want to say, slap Shia, because, I mean, could you really ever slap Big Bird? No.
Right, this is true.
I mean.
Smooch the bird.
I think I'm going to smooch Big Bird.
Smooch Big Bird. I think
Larry's safe as
well. Larry Bird is safe.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Honestly, this is for both of you. I need both answers.
Okay.
Smooch, slap, safe. Pikachu, Jigglypuff, Bulbasaur.
Oh, all right.
This should be easy if we're friends.
Slap.
Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff.
I'm out.
No, I would actually.
I am out of here.
Slap Pikachu.
Okay.
Slap Pikachu, smooch Bulbasaur, Jigglypuff, safe.
Good. Thank God.
Was that yours?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, Pikachu's kind of a little shit. Cute, but a little shit.
I don't know. I really dislike Jigglypuff growing up. I think I'd like to smack her around a little bit, but not in a sexual way. Just, she needs a good old smacking.
All right, she needs
a little smack.
So who are you smooching is the question.
I think I'd smooch Pikachu, because I kind of had a crush on Pikachu.
And then Bulbasaur is safe.
Yeah, Bulbasaur's safe.
Wow.
Sorry, Maggie. All right. So this one's for Mia, because I think it might ruffle her feathers a little bit. Smooch Slap Safe, Johnny Depp, Johnny Damon, Johnny Knoxville. Yeah.
All right. So
Triple J. So slap.
The slap is easy. Slap Johnny Depp.
Oh, wow.
Because
he's a domestic abuser.
Well, yeah. Yes, but I would have assumed slap Johnny Knoxville.
What?
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville is like the ultimate crush. He's a smooch.
What? Johnny Damon's your crush. You dress up as Johnny Damon
for betrayed us all when he joined the Yankees. Johnny Damon is barely safe.
Go Yankees.
I might slap both Johnny Depp and Johnny Damon. Johnny Knoxville, wearing those Dickies pants, can get it any time of day, winter equinox, any season, anytime.
I'm really glad that we're talking about sexuality on this podcast, because my sexuality is just not Johnny Knoxville. That is the entirety of my sexuality.
I want a girl who's Johnny Knoxville.
All right, wow.
Maybe she shits less in empty toilets in Home Depot, but the aesthetic I could use.
Maybe, like, harasses her dad less.
No, that's Bam Margera, bro.
Yeah.
Oh. Who's Johnny Knoxville?
Though? Oh, he's the fucking ringleader of it all.
That is not endearing.
Johnny Knoxville is
the one that's been clean for like 11 years.
No, that's Steve-O. Come on, guys.
Sorry.
Do you guys even watch Jackass?
No.
Jackass is so formative for me.
Nope. He looks like in every photo, Johnny Knoxville looks like he's going,
he is. Yeah. He absolutely is. Big Daddy.
Oh, God.
Yes. No, Johnny Knoxville, absolutely yes. Okay. Next question.
I have another one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is going to be tough. Elise, this is for you. Mariska Hargitay.
Ooh.
Don't know her.
Okay.
You do. Let me pull her up. You do.
Okay.
From Law and Order SVU.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Mariska Hargitay, Jennifer Aniston, or Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston does have those nipples.
What?
What's up with their nipples?
They're on TV a lot.
Are they like spectacular?
She just always had hard nips on Friends.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I never noticed that.
Well, you weren't gay. I just invalidated you.
All right, I guess this one's pretty easy. Smooch Jennifer Aniston.
Woo!
Safe Mariska, because I don't really have any feelings about her one way or
the other.
I would
probably smooch her.
I haven't watched that much Law and Order. I mean, it's a great program.
But you're trying to slap Sandra Bullock?
Bow wow. Yeah. I would slap Sandra Bullock.
Why not?
What the hell, guys?
Why not?
I didn't like
She got
the
great
side.
Eyebrows. I love the Blind Side. It's ridiculous.
I didn't like that she recreated it in her real life, though.
Oh, the Blind Side. I thought we were talking about The Proposal.
No.
Oh, I love The Proposal. No, I didn't like the Blind Side at all.
Oh, okay. Can I do my next one?
Yes.
Do it.
Yes.
Okay, Margaret.
Yes.
Smooch, slap, safe. Coldplay. The helpful Microsoft Word paperclip.
Clippy.
Pastrami.
Get out.
This one just came to me.
How do you choose? Well, Coldplay, I think, is a slap. I mean, I would do like an ironic like smooch or whatever, but I can't. I really don't like Coldplay.
It's a lot of people, too.
But choosing between Clippy and Pastrami is actually kind of tough, because pastrami keeps me full and Clippy keeps me knowledgeable.
Right. So passive like voice, bye.
But you know what? I can always come back to learning grammar. So I'm going to safe Clippy.
Okay.
And I'm going to smooch pastrami and then bite it.
She's going to freak it tonight.
That's right.
All right. That's that. Those are my two. What else?
I've got another good one. Is it my turn?
Yeah, hit it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is for both of y'all, okay?
Okay.
We ready.
Smooch Slap Safe, Mr. Krabs,
ooh.
Pearl,
ooh.
Or that one fish that always yells, my leg!
Oh! Smooch, 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 my leg guy. Done.
Okay. Slap Pearl, she's spoiled.
That's what I thought.
Safe Krabs, smooch my leg.
Krabs is like a serious capitalist, so I am gonna slap Krabs.
True.
Because I'm, like, trying to really, like...
Wow, anti-capitalism.
Get with it. Okay.
All right. I'm a neoliberal.
Pearl can be safe. And I'm trying to get it with the my leg guy.
My leg! My leg!
My leg.
Okay, wait. I have one more. Honestly, for whoever can answer
Who
first.
Who bites?
Ross Geller, Ice-T, Christina Aguilera.
Ice. Okay. So we've got Ross Geller, maybe the most annoying character of all time in any program ever. So
you bet.
That's an immediate slap.
Yeah.
Who? Ice.
Ice-T and Christina Aguilera.
Christina gets the smooch.
Yeah, smooch Christina.
But when Ice-T doesn't get the smooch.
Ice-T doesn't get the smooch. He gets the pass. Safe. Yeah. Here's the thing about Christina Aguilera. Have you seen the Dirty music video ever in your life?
No. Not one time.
because I'm telling you this. That's good.
Okay.
She's like wrestling.
I just thought that I was going to take us out on a real hard one and I didn't. So let's move to the next segment, I think. That's what we're going to do.
I mean, Ross Geller.
One more.
Oh, yes. We've got one more.
I don't know if this one will be
a hard hitter.
Challenging enough.
Let's try
Maybe
it.
Maybe we'll end some friendships tonight.
Oh.
Here it comes. Smooch, slap safe, Pringles, Doritos, Tostitos.
I'm ready.
Slap Tostitos.
Yes.
Wow.
Safe Pringles.
Yes.
Smooch Doritos.
Yes, me too.
All right. Not challenging enough. It's okay.
I tried. That was empowering, best. Though. That one was empowering.
It was empowering.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right.
Okay, so while Maggie takes some sips of kosher sangria, I'm going to introduce the main brewski. So the main brew this week is about bisexuality, pansexuality, queerness, other ways of identifying as quote-unquote not straight, and just all the things we think about that. Perceptions of it, what it's been like for us, the ways that our sexual identities have changed over the years. So today we have Elise with us. Elise is my best friend of 20 years. So she's known me since my baby gay days. I've known her since her baby gay days. So we want to talk about the kind of words that we use to describe sexual attraction to multiple genders, the kind of implications they have in queer contexts, particularly for bi women compared to bi men. And in this context, also, I want to make a note that when we say men and women, we're not speaking totally explicitly in a binary because we just oppose that.
And I'm sure that's something that will come up tonight as we're discussing all of these different things. I mean, you kind of can't disentangle them.
But. Right. And yeah, we're going to talk about like changing conversations of sexual fluidity and sexual identity in millennial and Gen Z generations.
Yes. So one thing that I really love about Cameron Esposito's podcast, Query, among everything, is that she has this really cool way that she asks people to introduce themselves. It's not like a cool way that she asks people to introduce themselves. She just asks them to. But I find that to be cool because it allows people to talk about the things that are kind of most pertinent to them, like what sort of things they identify as right off the bat, what they like to share. And so I was wondering if you would introduce yourself to us and share whatever you want to get us going.
Yeah. That sounds good. hi, everybody. I'm Elise, and I'm your local Peruvian ice cream eating champion.
In our midst.
Yep. That's it. Main brew's done.
Yep. That's it. That's the most serious bit that I can reveal about myself. I am a Boston-based 3D illustrator. I'm an educator and an art educator to children. A cyclist, a caretaker, yeah, a best friend.
Best friend.
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
So, Elise, can you talk a little bit about, well, we obviously asked Elise to come on the podcast. She didn't just show up here at Maggie's apartment, although she could have because she knew where it was.
And we do this a lot.
And we do this a lot. but Elise, I want to hear why this topic's important and meaningful for you, why you wanted to join in on this conversation, and maybe, you know, give us a little intro about why this topic is important to you.
Yeah. Well, I identify as a bisexual woman. I also identify as a queer woman of color. So I use those sort of identities interchangeably. I feel like as someone who is, well, I guess as someone who is totally comfortable with saying that I'm bisexual, I want to sort of highlight and talk about why it's important for me to identify as a bisexual woman and as a queer woman of color,
mm-hmm.
because of how much sort of flack that bisexuals get in the LGBTQ plus community. And the fact that I am in a relationship with a queer cis man, and how that sort of comes into play in my life and in queer spaces and queer communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Well, I think that's also a really good way to get started into talking about one of the first questions that we wanted to bring up around language, which is why we choose the words queer versus bisexual versus pansexual versus gay as an umbrella term versus all of the other ways that people choose to identify themselves. So what is it that brought you to use bisexual, and what makes you continue to use bisexual now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for me, it has a lot to do with when and how I realized that I was bisexual, like as a kid, mm-hmm. and like having crushes on boys and girls and not really knowing how this is okay. Me and I went to Catholic school together, so, you know, constantly being told that you're fucking going to hell if you like women and you're a woman or identify as a woman. And I think that when I realized, like, oh, it's okay for me to feel this way and to not feel shame about it or feel like I'm going to hell. Mm-hmm. I think I was probably in like middle school, like mm-hmm. on my fucking chunky ass laptop Googling, is it okay? And what is, how could I identify, you know, I'm not straight. I like boys and girls. What do I do? And mm-hmm. I think I remember looking up the term bisexual and being like, oh, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. This is something that's all right. And mm-hmm. normal. And this is me. And I think for me, how important it was to realize that there was a term specifically for how I felt at that time, even as a fucking middle schooler, mm-hmm. Is the maybe the reason or part of the reason why I still adhere to it. And even though, or that I identify as bisexual, mm-hmm. And I understand how people view bisexuality as, you know, transphobic, mm-hmm. Or that it's so rigid because it's a binary, it's, you know, you're saying that you only like men or women and that's it and nothing else. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I don't view it as that.
But also to say, like, the transphobic comment is also like kind of, it's one of those things where it's almost transphobic to say that that's transphobic because yes.
right.
in your definition right. in my... of women and men is trans women and men in right. women yes. and men.
Yeah. I, as you know. Someone who's bisexual, I'm attracted to people who identify as men and women or not. Non-binary, mm-hmm. like, you know, that's
right, that bisexuality is kind of opening up itself.
And
right.
I think you see, you know, in a lot of these conversations around bisexuality, it is around the idea of, oh, well, it doesn't include non-binary identities. And I think it's really complicated. Like, I think that this is a perfect example of the fact that language just really fails us. And like that they're like, for example, like I identify as non-binary, but I still feel very much aligned with womanhood. I still use the term woman. Sometimes I will occasionally use the term lesbian for a myriad of reasons.
Right.
But, you know, it's, I have dated men in the past. And like when I came out actually as bisexual and as queer and like kind of use those terms interchangeably. And it's like, it's not perfect. You know, there's no like right. those like there can be non-binary lesbians. There can be non-binary right. bisexuals. Right. There can mm-hmm. be like it's more complicated than that.
Yes.
Which is why I love Sarah Ramirez on Twitter is always, always posting about really cool bi plus content, which is what I don't know if that's.
Can you talk about what bi plus means to you?
It's mostly things that I've just seen on the internet. So I don't even know if that's how you'd say it is bi plus. You know,
that's what I would yeah. assume looking at it.
You know, when you do that, when you like, there's a whole concept that you've never heard out loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, no one's done a podcast on this yet.
But yeah, no. So what I understand is that bi plus identities kind of try to encompass the multiplicity of dating people of multiple genders and realizing that it's significantly more complicated than just there would be one term that would kind of capture everything. But I think also it goes back to what you were saying, Elise, that it kind of goes back to what bisexuality means as a term within the queer community and like how it's been stigmatized and right. saying like, we're not just going to get rid of this word that has been where people have been, like, excluded because of biphobia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where people have felt a true connection to that word at that time. You know, mm-hmm. maybe if I knew what queer was when I was in fifth grade or something, I would feel like, oh, that's where I, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. I fit in or something.
I'm also imagining you at that age finding this information on Yahoo Answers.
Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, that's like what I'm picturing too. And I like know the laptop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I typically say that I'm queer. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is that I like that it makes the men that I date feel kind of like, wait, what? What is that? What is, I don't know, are you bi? You know, mm-hmm. I kind of like I like the ambiguity of queer. Mm-hmm. But I also, but I remember coming out to someone that Elise and I were friends with when we were children. And she was very conservative and just really, really didn't even understand what I was saying. But, and that was actually maybe the only really negative experience I had with coming out. Mm-hmm. Because in coming out to her, I was describing pansexuality. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to mm-hmm. date people regardless of whether they're boys or girls. Yep. And just date people because I like them. And actually, it's because I had a dream about Emily Haynes, the singer of Metric and Emily Haynes and the Soft Skeleton. And I wrote this short, I was like 12 or 13, I wrote like a short story mm-hmm. from like the perspective of me like being in love with a woman. Mm-hmm. I probably have it somewhere, yeah. But it was very gay. And I had literally like a wet dream, but it was like a romantic, it was like romantic too.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, hey mom, thanks for tuning in, mom and dad. But I like literally like came out to myself in a dream. Mm-hmm. There's some real religious stuff going on here. I'm like Julian of Norwich in this bitch. So anyways, I like called this person and I was like talking to her about it. And I was kind of describing pansexuality, but I hadn't really Googled. I hadn't asked Jeeves about pansexuality yet. And so I was like, I guess bisexual. And she was like, well, then why don't you just date boys? And like was very, very not receptive. Like didn't get it. Still probably doesn't. But I remember bisexual not feeling right, not fitting right. And pansexual, when I did learn of it, still didn't really seem right because mm-hmm. it felt like it was kind of like, oh, I'm just open to whatever comes my way. And that wasn't really it. I was interested in specifically pursuing queer relationships because of their queerness, but didn't have the language to say that. And so I had a similar experience with queerness feeling like it really, really fit. But I find that I often describe myself as not straight. Mm-hmm. Because that feels better. And I feel like sometimes there's a pressure. So like we've all kind of talked about interchangeably using different identities. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think like, sometimes I feel like queer feels like it fits mm-hmm. for me. And as someone who's dated people who identify as non-binary and dated people who are trans and whatever, all I've dated everyone on the planet Earth. You're all my exes. Everyone I've kissed is my ex.
Oh, I swear by that.
I swear by
that. I that's, swear that everyone I have kissed law. Is my ex. That is sorry if law. You're listening.
Yeah, you're all my exes.
Oh my God.
But I sometimes feel like there's a pressure to move away from sexual identities that are more rooted in binary language.
Yes.
Or, which maybe is a good thing in theory, mm-hmm. but it actually like takes away from that meaning and that really special moment people get when they find that identity that really fits them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like we're talking about how language fails us. Mm-hmm. What bisexual means to you, Elise, may be a totally different thing than the connotation and the feeling I get when I think of that word and say that word.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And which is kind of funny that we cling to these ideas as if they really can translate to one another, mm-hmm. as if it means anything to you for me to say I'm queer in the same way that you say you're queer.
Right.
But it does in a way.
It definitely does. I think like, because if you think about community and safety and like finding your people, like any of these words, like there are ways that they are used, there are ways that some of the more binary terms are used that you can kind of like, you can hear by the way they're being said that you're like, oh, actually no, this really just is transphobic, like you really just don't want to make community with trans people. And like in those situations, like that's not a community builder. But like hearing people use different terms for themselves to me is like, I'm knowing them better. Like hearing both of you use all of the different words, like when we're out at a bar introducing ourselves to people or with each other or like talking shit after something, it's good because then I learn like in this moment, in this mood, she's feeling bisexual. In this moment, in this mood, she's feeling queer. And that's so cool. Right.
Yeah. Some of what you were saying was making me think about how when I choose to identify as like a queer woman of color or right. a mm-hmm. bisexual woman. And I think for me, it has a lot to do with maybe not whether or not my partner, Brian, my partner's name is Brian. Hey, honey.
Hi, Bree.
I don't know if it's necessarily whether or not Brian is present, but maybe whether the conversation is surrounding my relationship or my sexual experiences mm-hmm. with somebody. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just talking about my identity in a situation, maybe it has something to do with race or gender or sex. I may identify as a queer person of color, woman of color. But if somebody's talking about, you know, my boyfriend, which I don't even call him my boyfriend, you know, or they're talking about how we identify or something like that comes up, I may say, well, I'm bisexual and my partner is queer, you know? I think part of owning that for me is to sort of counteract the ambiguity of saying, well, we're both just queer. Do you know right. what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because just if I were to say, oh yeah, we're just like a queer couple, somebody may not know what that means and they don't need to necessarily know what it means. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, it's powerful to say I'm bisexual in right. this relationship.
Right, and it also, I think, like I made a joke about being neoliberal, but to me there's something about this like, which I'm not, but to me there is something important about pushing back against like this queerer than thou mentality of like bi isn't queer enough anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of something that you're getting at that I think like that's an important thing that I keep thinking
what
about
do you mean,
too
actually?
Is like, well, just like that if you say that, like if you were to say bi, someone might be like, oh, but you're not queer. That like there's this kind of hierarchy of like queer is somehow like cooler or hipper language than bi. Bi has all these other connotations or is like there's this kind of almost like academic pretentiousness, I think, to like pushing away from bisexuality. Like I understand why sometimes people do, but I think that there's like this bullshit of like insinuating that there is any value in someone's language choice for how they personally identify and that someone might make you feel like, oh, in this situation, I should identify as queer because, like, they're going to get what that means more or they're going to have a different connotation. And I think that you combating that by being like, no, I'm bisexual and this is my partner and he is queer, you know, is like using the language, like the language that you and Brian specifically like to use for yourselves and asserting that in a moment where someone might be trying to, like, invalidate your bisexuality and using it, like, getting rid of that ambiguity and being like, no, no, no. I'm not afraid to, like, say that this is a label that I identify with.
It's interesting that you say that bisexuality is not queer enough. Or is that what you said?
I'm not saying that I think that.
No, no. But no, of course not. But that people think that or may think that. Because I feel the opposite when I'm in that scenario. So, like, Brian identifies as queer because there is no label or term for how he feels. And so he uses the term queer. I don't know if it's just as an umbrella term, but that's just how he identifies.
Right.
But for me, I think that saying that I'm bisexual sort of puts it out on the table that I am interested in men and women and non-binary people.
Yeah. I think one of the things that is really interesting about what we're talking about is we're coming from perspectives of people who are women and are read as women regularly. And I mean, we know that there are a lot of different stereotypes around bisexuality
yes.
for men and women. And obviously like for a lot of different other visible or not visible identity factors. But like, you know, I think because when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about being a woman and my experiences in it and my experiences when I more openly identified as bisexual and what and the implications that that had. And for me, I always thought in terms of the queerness of it, one of the things that I feel like is lost when we completely throw identities like bisexual to the wind is bisexual women are constantly invalidated for saying like, okay, well, you're really just straight and you're just like messing around. And so it's like, it can be totally empowering for some people to put more ambiguity on that with a word like queer. Go for it. That's awesome. But right. like, it can also be super empowering in almost like an angry way to say
that's
like,
what I was kind of
thinking. Like I'm bisexual. Like right. fuck you.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I think that is me. And so what I was trying to say about queer and this like idea of a hierarchy earlier was basically just that I feel like more and more people are identifying as not straight. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And more of those people are using queer as an umbrella term. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something powerful about being specific.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is what I was saying. But I feel like a lot of people are afraid to do that.
Yes.
And I think that there's kind of this casual, easy breezy, like ambiguity to queer. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was saying is kind of like mm-hmm. something powerful about like the like, no, fuck you. I'm going to claim this label because this is how I feel.
Right.
And so but that also character.
So just to complicate it a little bit, you know, my favorite phrase. No, I think there's also, I don't want to invalidate that there is total power for people in saying queer is a slur, was a slur, and is right. sort of a slur, and I'm reclaiming that, and that's a power move for me.
Yeah, totally.
And so I don't want to invalidate that, but I also don't think that it doesn't have to be an either or.
Right. No, it's right. And so you use them interchangeably, as you were saying.
Right. And it's up to each individual and the setting that you're contextual. The context of the conversation, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Maggie, do you want to break down what we had kind of thought about as stereotypes for...
Yeah. Yeah. So I think when I was thinking about the stereotypes that you see around bisexuality, which I think in many ways we kind of think we've moved away from, and in many ways we have. I'm not trying to imply that there isn't, that things don't change all the time, but I think that there is still this, particularly with femme women who are bisexual, that it is the phase element of like, you're really just straight, you're messing around, you're going to do this while you're young, it's going to go away later. Also just the erasure of non-gender conforming bisexual women in general, that like they exist and they're not just gay, you know? Right. But there is kind of, and sluttiness, as we talked about, that really that sluttiness comes into bi women in a way that I'm not saying it doesn't come into bisexual men, but I find that it's a very particular emphasis with bi women. But the other thing about bisexual men, and you know, none of us have that identity here, so it's not like we can speak for it. But there's a certain amount of like, oh, well, you're really just gay and you're just on the way. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're going to figure it out and this is just a stepping stone for you.
Opportunity to not be closeted anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you see it. Actually, I think it's really cool that people are like, you see it now on TV. Sometimes I think it was in an episode of Insecure this past season. They talk a little bit about straight identified women who will find out that someone they're sleeping with is bisexual, a man, a cis man is bisexual. And are kind of weirded out and are like, I can't do this, or like, this is too much, or like, you know, what kind of things are associated with this? Like, what does he like to do in bed? Like, what, you know, what kind of STIs could he possibly have?
Right.
You know, I don't think that stigma's gone, but that's kind of just where I started with on it.
I think that the question of bi invisibility is important here, and the way that that happens differently from women to men. Elise and I have spoken a lot about this and her experiences in particular of this, because she's in a relationship with a partner who is a queer cis man.
Yeah, that kind of brought up a situation that happened when Brian and I first started talking or dating. Mm-hmm. I was living with a roommate who is a gay cis man. Mm-hmm. And he started to date another gay cis man. And the three of us were like sitting on the couch talking, and Brian and I are a Tinder success story. And when we first started seeing each other, I think I was sitting on the couch in my old apartment with my roommate and his new boyfriend. And we were talking about Brian, and I was saying like, oh yeah, like things are going really great. Like sex is great. Like really, mm-hmm. really like him. Like I feel like I'm falling in love, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up that he, identifies as queer, mm-hmm. and the boyfriend of my roommate was like, oh, so he's just gay. He's gay.
Ew.
And I was like, no, he's queer, and I'm bi, and I feel like really comforted by the fact that we share sort of like similar experiences in terms of our sexuality. And he was like, no, honey, like if you start dating him, you're in a straight relationship. And I was like, but you just told me that he was gay. And he's like, yeah, but you're a woman. And if you're dating this dude, I don't care if he's had sex with men or what he's done with other men. You're just in a straight relationship. So he was simultaneously trying to tell me, like, no, this guy is gay because he's done...
Ever had any sexual encounter with a man.
Not straight experience.
Right.
But also was telling me, like, no, like, if you start dating a man, you're in a straight relationship. He said something like, I don't care that you're bi. Like, he said something, it was really offensive. And I was just, like, shocked. I was just sitting there with my mouth open, like... You're in my house telling me, like,
whoa,
what? Yeah, and I just didn't know what to say. I just, like, kind of just stood up and, like, went to the kitchen, like, got a glass of water and was like, I gotta, like, sit down for a second because this is somebody that I'm sharing with you, someone who I look to for, you know, support, and, like, you're a gay man, like, I think you would maybe understand,
right,
or feel sympathetic, like, feel anything about this new person that I'm seeing and dating and I'm excited about. And
right.
He just completely shut me down.
It is truly astounding when you sit and you realize real time that you're like, wow, you are spouting a stereotype at me, like, point for point. Like, right. You out loud are saying things that my friends and I make fun of all the time, you know? Like,
and the weird part about that conversation was that he was trying to, like, kill two birds with one stone. He was like, I'm trying to tell, like, that the boy that you're seeing is gay.
Right. He was
Let
making,
me save
like,
you. Yeah.
He was making, like, also, two counter points.
They didn't
like,
make
he's
any
contradicting
sense.
His own argument, but... invalidating you from two different directions at once.
Exactly. I was like, I didn't know which one to address first. I was like, excuse me, wait, so that makes him, what about me, what about my experience?
Did you end up saying anything after you had kind of like realized how fucked up it was, or like how it made you feel, or did you just need to like walk away?
I just had to walk away because he had already said a lot of really problematic bullshit in my house that I was like, I can't even be around this person. And thankfully my roommate stop seeing him as well.
Well, I think it can be really hard too when you trust somebody, or I think this is also speaking to the ways that labels fail us, right? Because we talked about that community can be established by having a common identifier, but in some ways it can present like a false idea of like safety, and then you can make yourself vulnerable with somebody. And, you know, like I've had people say things to me too, like, because in the past couple of months, 6 months, I've dated a lot. And I've had people say things to me too that are just like insensitive about like who I'm dating and what I'm dating and, you know, my intentions about who I'm pursuing and the kinds of relationships I'm pursuing. And it can be really hard because, you know, you're not coming out in these moments, but it's like feels like that's a similar kind of vulnerability where you're like, you know, I'm letting you into this part of my life. You don't get to, like, just fucking hit me with stereotypes or, like, you know, put my sexual interests or my romantic interests under a microscope. And, like, that can be so hurtful and like, dizzying. You, like, don't even know what to do because you're like, whoa, like, I thought that we were all on the same page. I thought we all gave a shit.
Yeah.
And you're, like, you know, using, like, really shitty terminology to talk about, like, oh, you're indecisive, or you're flip-flopping, or you're what, you know what I mean? Like, people use, like, language, and you're like, I thought we were here, man, and you know what I mean? And
I think that has a lot to do with where, like, bi erasure comes from, too. So, I'm having this conversation about somebody new that I'm seeing with a gay, white, cis man. So, to him, it probably seemed like it was so easy for him to be able to shut me down in that way because it didn't take that much for you to come out because you also still like men. You still like men and you still date men. So, you know, you're not really gay. You're not fully gay.
Right.
Because your sexuality is on a spectrum. Like, you know.
Right. And I remember experiencing a lot of, like, shame or guilt when I was dating someone who was queer but was a cis man and straight passing, if we're gonna, you know, like, yeah, sure. You know, I guess. Like, anyway, I remember experiencing a lot of like kind of like shame or guilt in dating a straight passing cis man. Because I do think that this is something that I still think is a thing, is that walking down the street in that relationship, I was safer in a lot of ways than I have been walking down the street with women that I've dated. Because that's just a thing. That's mm-hmm. right, that's true. But that doesn't, like, the point is not to, like, pick apart every part of someone's sexual identity experience, because the point is that I've had all of those kinds of relationships, mm-hmm. right? So, like, and, like, sure, like, yeah, there's, like, more physical safety in that moment. But also the fact that, you know, I'm walking down the street with my, at the time, boyfriend in Northampton, and someone like said something about us being straight, like walked by and grumpily said something. And I was like, we're both so gay. Like, we were both so gay. Mm-hmm. And like that erasure stinging in a really violent way too, that there's that the point is not to like kind of compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the point of the spectrum, the point of queerness, is that it's a fluidity, and it's that it's a multiplicity of identities and experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's just as damaging, you know, and that, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Now that I am in a queer relationship, and I don't look as queer anymore, maybe to some people, it's, I think all the more important for me to express my sexuality, especially if I'm being confronted by somebody about it, or if somebody's asking about my relationship with Brian and I say, oh, well, like I'm bisexual and he's queer. Often I feel like those conversations tend to happen with straight people or straight coworkers or something. Yeah. And it kind of brings up the conversation that I think we're going to talk about later on, about like relationship security and, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, let's do it. Take it there.
I feel like anytime somebody finds out that I'm bi or that my boyfriend's gay or that we're in a queer relationship, like that I'm just under this microscope, like you said, like it's always about the problems that you might have in your relationship. It's never, oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's mm-hmm. queer. You guys right. queer. Cool. It's right. always like, well, I have a million questions about, you know, how you feel sexually in bed and
right. God, what do you like suddenly?
Yeah. It's crazy because I never received those questions as a bisexual woman in a relationship with a straight cis man. Mm-hmm. Nobody mm-hmm. ever questioned that.
That's interesting.
Like, would you identify yourself as bisexual and they would just say, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think if it was about my relationship with him, nobody would really say anything.
Like, did people just assume you were straight because they knew he was, or?
Yes, and if I brought up that I was bisexual, it was kind of just like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, like, I'm not going to ask any more questions. But the moment that I'm in a relationship with somebody else who is queer, it's, oh, whoa. So now you have these two people who are interested in multiple genders, and how does that work? Because isn't that more mm-hmm. complicated? Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that we've had a pretty productive conversation. I think this is another one of those topics that it's pretty hard to come to any conclusions about. But the one conclusion I do feel pretty comfortable and confident saying is that the words that we choose to identify ourselves may always kind of feel incomplete or inadequate, because language will always kind of be inadequate. Mm-hmm. But I think that people's identities and the words that they use and the way that it evolves can be really powerful and make a lot of meaning out of people's lives. And so mm-hmm. I think that it's really important for us to acknowledge these language, these terminology, this language. I think it's important for us to acknowledge the history of a lot of the words that we use. Like, we mm-hmm. talked about queer as a slur in this episode. You know, mm-hmm. there's bits and pieces, and I think like anything else, you need to make things your own. And mm-hmm. and that's what we do when we find identifiers. And so, you know, and moving forward and talking about a way that we can work towards a less biphobic future is to not be a goddamn asshole.
Word.
Yeah.
Maggie, Hi. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Do I have any closing thoughts? I think, honestly, my closing thought to other people, but also to myself always, is slow down, take a minute, and just think before you open your mouth. Like,
wow.
It's really important. Solid. In terms of so many of the things that we talked about tonight are people making flip assumptions, like seeing Mia on the street with a guy and thinking like, oh, wow, look at these straight people. Like, just take a minute. You don't know everybody's story.
Right. Check out my septum piercing. Okay.
But it's a reminder for myself, too. It's so easy to like, the language is imperfect and the world that we're trying to find queer community in is imperfect. But like, one of the ways that I think I can do my best is by just slowing down. Because if I know that my own story is like, fluctuates from sexuality and gender and who I would date and who I do date and whatever the fuck, then everybody else's probably does too. So chill.
Yeah. Elise, do you have any closing thoughts or words of wisdom for people who are bi, who might be listening, who are feeling, the kinds of erasure or frustration that you've described, or the kind of joy and comfort of experiencing an identity that they feel like fits?
And hearing someone who validates that identity. Yes, welcome. It's so cool.
I guess just that it's fucking okay. It's okay to feel that way and stand up for yourself, because I've had several experiences, one of which I relayed tonight, where I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I had, and I think about it all the time. And we are so stigmatized, and there's so many biases and phobias and everything surrounding different people's sexualities and the way that they identify, especially bisexuality. So just be yourself and love yourself and talk about it.
We don't have time for otherwise.
Just be a guest on your best friend's podcast and talk about your sexual experiences. Yes. And your loving and beautiful partner, Brian. Just do it. Brian. Hey, Brian.
All right, well, that's it for our main brew. So who is inspiring you right now?
Well, in terms of illustration, artists that are inspiring me right now, particularly on Instagram, would be at The Hand and the Shadow. It is my good friend, Sarah Fichette. And her partner, Jason, whose last name I'm not going to say because I'm going to totally butcher it. Sarah is a traveling puppeteer. She and Jason have both worked at Leica Studios in Portland, Oregon. I know Jason has done a lot of the puppet painting on Kubo and Coraline and Box Trolls. Super huge inspiration for me. And they also do like shadow theater work. Amazing people. Go check out their work. It's amazing. Check out the Spooky Girls. And another illustrator that's just been a huge inspiration for me since I got into 3D illustration in particular is Red Nose Studio. Mm-hmm. At Red Nose Studio. Chris Sickles is his name. He is a stop motion enthusiast and very well-known 3D illustrator. Probably if you've heard of 3D illustration, you've seen Red Nose Studios work. Those are just some artists that inspire me constantly.
Sweet. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, and don't forget to check out my Instagram at elise.guillen.
G-U-I-L-L-E-N.
E-L-I-S-E-G-U-I-L-L-E-N.
We will link Elise's social media to our Instagram. We'll post her on our website.
Thanks, guys.
And over on Twitter, you can find out ways to get in contact with Elise or check out her art and her website.
Aww. So click away.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for joining us on this episode, Elise. Oh, it was so nice to have you, and what a delicious first guest.
Right? Amazing. So Elise, at the end of our main brew, you mentioned loving yourself. And that brings us perfectly into our final segment of this episode, which is something I came up with. I'm very proud of it. It's called WWKD. So WWKD is What Would Kanye Do? This is a segment where we talk about one thing, at least, we did this week that was an ultimate act of self-love. Because who's a greater icon of self-love than Kanye himself?
That's That's right.
That's true. I mean,
nobody loves Kanye like Kanye loves Kanye.
That's really true.
Yeah.
I will start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I can start. So something that I, there's a couple of things that I did this week that Kanye would have done. The first thing is that I paid a lot of my bills this month in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I live off of loans, full disclosure, to anybody looking for me to treat them to a nice spaghetti dinner. Good luck.
Again.
Yeah. Bitch, you thought. And so, like, you know, paying bills and everything is, like, kind of, like, I'm on a budget. I'm, you know, have everything kind of budgeted out anyway. But it does feel good to kind of take care of that. I can get some, like, procrastination anxiety about doing that stuff. And I, you know, there was this post that was circulating on Facebook recently about how self-love doesn't always mean a fucking rose hip oil bath and cucumber slices. It sometimes means being like, okay, I have to do this thing I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I paid all my bills on the first of the month. Gave myself, you know, I've been trying to budget my money more closely and that kind of thing. So I did that this month. I also have been going to the gym more, and I made a workout schedule, and I've been doing that. I went to the gym today after clinical, which is kind of an accomplishment to me because I'm usually just dead ass tired after clinical. So that was good. And I also did some bread baking tonight. Well, I haven't baked it. It's baking tomorrow. But I've done some bread making tonight, some doughing. And I've been trying to spend time not listening to any music or watching TV while I bake bread. Bread is like a really tactile thing. And for me, it challenges a lot of parts of me that are kind of hyper and anxious and want a final product right away and want to keep moving and doing things quickly. So it's nice to have that intentional time to kind of be uncomfortable with, like, just listening to the sounds of the house and the kitchen and the bread itself and my own breathing in my body. And it's like a weird meditation. So I've been doing that, and that's been kind of a nice space for me to, like, squeeze myself a little and love myself.
Aww, that's nice.
Nice, Mimi.
Cool.
Elise. So this past week I basically finished a new addition to my illustration portfolio. Pretty much. It's pretty much done. I'd say it's like 85% there, maybe even 90.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned earlier that I'm a 3D illustrator. I am currently a new job prospect in my career is on the horizon, but I've been working towards adding some new pieces to my portfolio just to revamp it. And I've been working on this one sculpture for about 2 months now. And yeah, she's almost there. She's
absolutely beautiful.
It's a series that I'm really excited about, and I would talk more about it, but I think I'm just gonna reveal more on my social media.
Yes. Tune in.
Yeah. Or, you know, just when we have you on again.
So. Or when I'm on again. Yeah. Then I can talk about it. So that's something that I'm really excited about. It's been really difficult for me to work on this, because this is actually the first piece, the first 3D piece of work that I have done since graduating art school. It's taken me a while to get back into sculpture. I've been drawing and stuff, but it's a whole different ball game. Mia, this is along the lines of your rose hip bath facial, whatever you
that
said.
Stuff is valuable too.
This is actually pretty valuable.
That's important
to me.
Too.
So Mia and I went shopping this past weekend. We went to Uniqlo.
Unique Glow.
I was in search of an article of clothing that I saw on the internet, and I tried it on and I really didn't like it, and I was kind of bummed. But Uniqlo has this really sick collab right now with Mary Mecco. Hope I'm saying that correctly. this brand that is really awesome, super, like, contemporary, colorful, patterned clothing that's way too expensive, like a fucking $365 dress. But they collabed with Uniqlo, so it's affordable to me. And I tried on this pattern in this dress and this top, and I love them both a lot. And I was like, Mia, what do I do? Because when I shop, I try to be really frugal and only buy one thing or two things, because, like, I don't need any more clothes. I have so many clothes. And Mia was like, they're awesome. Just buy both.
I enabled her.
She enabled me, but I'm so grateful for it because I feel like these articles of clothing are really me. And I just feel really me in them. Yes. And I'm so excited to wear them in different ways and express myself. That's my deal.
Maggie? My self-love of this week, two things. One of them is along Mia's lines of getting your shit done. I finally filed my fucking taxes. Ooh. It's just not that big of a deal. It doesn't take that long. I do them myself every year. I could have just done it. I could have gotten the refund a long time ago, but I was like, I can't do it. I can't. I don't even know where my no, W-2 is. Real. I can't do it.
Congrats,
so
though.
I finally did it. Thank you so much. I'm feeling amazing. I was really excited. I was like, oh, yes, yes, savings, yes. So there was a little bit of that. And so my second act of self-love is that when I went down to New Jersey to Nancy's family Seder, I was looking for something to contribute to the food with so Nancy's brother's fiance. We jokingly call ourselves the Outlaws. So we were looking for something to contribute. I mean, she also like made like a broccoli salad and like Brussels sprouts and like, you know, like good food. But we were joking that I don't actually know if beer isn't kosher for Passover because I guess it isn't leavened per se. But anyways, so we were like, okay, but we should make like a fun drink. And so we made sangria for the Seder. So it's like we brought in spring, even though it snowed yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And we've all been drinking it tonight, all of the leftovers.
I finished it.
It was completely delicious. And everybody there was like, wow, you guys, amazing sangria. And I was like, thank you. There's peach brandy in this.
It's delicious. And amazing. And here I am.
Delish.
So I think that about closes it out.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 5. Next week, we're talking lady butts and pixie cuts. It's Butch and Femme Week on the Bitching Hour. We're talking queer identifiers, arbitrary gendering of clothes, and the importance of leather jackets.
That is right, so get excited. If you have anything that you want to say before we get starting about Butch and Femme identifiers, let us know by finding us on Twitter at BitchingHourPod and on Instagram at BitchingHourPodcast. You can also feel free to let us know any thoughts that you had on this episode or previous ones. We'd love to hear from you. And definitely subscribe on iTunes. We really have a podcast now that we have to say that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you have to subscribe.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Great.
Google Play.
Leave a comment.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in.
See you next week.
Bye.